WPR Rebel Radio. Here's Frank T. Biscuit, and here's your host, Mark. And here's Matt the Electric Monkey.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. You heard my son Michael bringing us into the show there before the music because he wanted to do a little intro for us.
Oh, yeah.
So we've already been introduced, but in case you weren't sure, I'm Mark.
This is Matt the Electric Monkey.
And missing for a while now, Frank T. Biscuit.
Whoa,
Frank is
back. You have clothes on too.
Yes.
So you missed a couple of shows because he
because I didn't want to get dressed,
have any clothes, and we weren't going to allow him to do the show naked.
No.
And then the last show you didn't
but
do.
But I am commando. So
you were last show from what we, according to our sources, you were at a Brony convention the last show. You know, so that's why you weren't here.
That was Matt that was at the Brony.
No, Matt was right here recording with
here.
Me. So you know,
there's no way.
You know, it could be worse. You could have been at a furry convention.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather go to a furry convention than a Brony.
At least they rub up on each other.
I'm sorry. At least furries keep to themselves. I don't know. Bronies are borderline pedophiles. Sorry. That's just my opinion about.
Yeah, but you don't know who's in that suit, right? I mean, if they have like a facial thing.
Yeah,
on,
but that's a good thing.
You could be rubbing up on a dude.
But that's a good thing. A guy that looks like me or an ugly chick. Well, there are no ugly chicks. All chicks are pretty. But, you know, a less attractive chick,
yeah,
a less attractive dude can hook up with a hot-looking chick or
a
hot-looking dude.
He does know a lot. But, you know, one thing the furries might solve
furry
is
loving,
they
fall in love with the costume.
Furries might know who came first, the chicken or the egg.
It's true.
Bad joke.
I'm kind of digging this just the tail furry thing that's been going on. Where the girls just wear just the tail.
Okay, the show's getting borderline creepy here.
Okay,
it's bad enough that Frank did it.
No, what I'm getting about is they're just wearing just the tail.
Hard left. Take a hard left.
And how do they hold the tail up? That's what fascinates me.
So, that's what happens when Frank T. Biscuit's back in the studio. But no, we're glad we're back together as a trio. Not that the dynamic duo here, Matt and Mark, weren't holding it down the fort, but it's good to have
the
trio.
Batman and Robin, Superman eventually had to show up.
Well,
we were one musketeer short of a candy bar, sir.
And so, you know, again, episode 60. Wow, that's fine. That's kind of a milestone again. Every 10 episodes kind of becomes a milestone. And
especially as often as we get together.
Make sure you go to TrustMeIMAJedi.com where you can find Rebel Radio and all your latest news and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to iTunes, leave us a rating. We really appreciate that. We need more ratings. More ratings, people.
Yes.
And stay tuned.
Wait, we got sponsors we need ratings for?
Well,
sponsors.
Yeah,
we have sponsors.
But no, it really helps. And something.
Well,
I wonder,
wait a minute. Doesn't sponsors usually mean money, and money means that we get paid?
Well,
and
I'm fixing to talk about money. Okay. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to launch a Patreon page for Trust Me, Jedi and Rebel Radio. And what Patreon is people can go in there and they can donate any amount of money they want to us, whether $1 or $5 or $10, and it helps us out with cost. For our server space and for our server space for Trust Me, I'm a Jedi, so I can rebuild the website. So look for that in a couple weeks. It also helps us do more shows, hopefully in time. In fact, this Wednesday is the launch of Remnants of the Rebellion, our Star Wars podcast that me and Matt have put together. So look for that first episode in about 2 days after you get this episode. So, hey, you get to hear us twice in a week.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good deal. So look for
depends on who you're asking.
Look for the Patreon page in the next couple of weeks to be launched to donate money to us, and you will find that at the link to that trustmeonmajaya.com. And this Wednesday, look for Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. Episode 1 is being released, and quick a little bit about that is it's a Star Wars podcast, but not just news like Rebel Radio. We do a lot of news and reviews of things and lists. This will be more like has to do with the history of Star Wars and different aspects throughout the Star Wars world in the 45 years since Star Wars came out. And we're also going to sometimes look at different characters of the show and aspects and what ifs and things like that. So we're going to let it grow and see. And as a preview for the first episode, we discuss Shadows of the Empire from 1996.
Right.
So look for that this Wednesday. And
may I say something? For those of y'all wondering, you know, why it's going to be just Mark and the monkey, it's because, you know, the Biscuit's a little bit lazy when it comes to doing, like, you know, studying up on stuff. If you haven't
paid attention to come to a show,
you know, if you haven't paid attention to some of the shows where I come totally unprepared, and these guys want it to be a little bit more, you know, streamlined, professional.
And that's not to say the Biscuit won't make an appearance on a Star Wars episode.
But I understand where they're coming from, and my feelings aren't hurt.
No, it doesn't take you away from. There were rumors. We will address these rumors that Rebel Radio was going to be canceled and we were going to shut the show down and start a new show, but that is not true. Rebel Radio will go on because we enjoy doing it.
That's right.
And it just seems like lately we haven't done as many episodes because everybody's been very busy, but we're seem to be back on track now. I think we'll have 3 or 4 new episodes between now and the end of the year for you, so that's not bad. So I think we're back on track. Things have settled down, Matt's job situation, and my... You know, Michael, my son's done playing football, so, you know, things have settled down. I think we'll be back on track. So, the rumors aren't true, people. Rebel Radio's not going anywhere. No. You, unfortunately, still have to hear Biscuit. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding, Frank.
No, well, kidding. I'm not arguing with you.
So, today's show, man, other than that, you know, did you listen to our last episode that you weren't here?
No.
You know, I want to do it on air while you're here. I'm putting this on public record. We talked about... We kind of went backwards in time and talked about why we'd been so busy in August, September. So we went backwards for before Matt's birthday party and my birthday party. And we talked about how beginning of August, Michael started playing football. I had my 40th birthday party and how we were so busy since. And I, on record, publicly thanked you and Matt for the gift Shaw gave and the great party. And I just wanted to do that again real quick while you're here.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, and it was awesome. And,
well, you're basically, you two are like brothers to me.
Oh, don't get emotional on the show. No, but you know, okay?
It's true. You know, a lot of people don't understand it. It's like pretty much my entire family packed up and left.
Saving Private Frank.
You know, they did. I mean, part of my family moved to Independence, Missouri. Then my cousin and his wife moved to Oregon at a time. And then my aunt joined them. And y'all were my family. You know, if honestly, I would pretty much, other than my wife, been here by myself and would have had, like, no reason to stay here.
Careless Whisper is playing in my head right now.
That's what I did.
Sweet. Sweet. You're welcome. And,
so now that Frank has clothes on and is not at a brony convention, he's back on the show today. And
Can we just say furry convention? I'd rather admit to going to a furry convention. Where were you at? A brony convention or a furry convention? I'll pick furry.
Okay, so we're going to talk some things. We're going to talk a little things have been going on. The first couple of trailers came out real quick. A new Wonder Woman trailer. And as per usual with the DC stuff, the trailers are great. I really like this Wonder Woman trailer a lot, more than the first one. And I'm really excited for the film. But again, it's DC. We like the trailers for Suicide Squad. We like the trailers for Batman vs. Superman. And granted, the three of us were bigger Batman vs. Superman fans than most people. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad wasn't that great. It was okay.
It was okay.
So we really, I guess with Wonder Woman, we just have to hold out hope that it's as good as the trailers are.
Yeah, now, I think it will be.
I like how it looked. I mean, there is a little bit of comic in there. It looked like, you know, we've got James Kirk coming back. I really like. I don't know.
Chris Pine.
Ooh, if Wonder Woman was green, hell yeah.
What?
We would have a curtain and a green Amazon.
Isn't she kind of like an alien? I mean, she's
in some ways.
Yeah, she's. I mean, she's not human.
Well, do you get the feel from watching the trailer? Like every DC film looks like Zack Snyder directed it with a slow motion.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. And obviously, it's directed by, I believe, Patty Jenkins is the director of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a woman director. But yet, it seems like maybe they're purposely doing that to have all the films in a similar style. I don't know.
They probably have a playbook that they have to do certain things.
It does make sense because we're going to talk about Doctor Strange in a little bit. And Doctor Strange even had felt like all the Marvel films do feel like they have a style and they're in the same universe. So maybe that is what DC is going for.
Yeah.
You know, make sure we use a slow motion camera on these things.
I'm still excited that Wonder Woman has a female director.
And
You
Why,
know?
Frank?
No, just because I think that a female will give a stronger female presence, like the female character, a stronger presence on screen than maybe a man director would.
And I like the fact that they're not afraid to go back in time with her history during the World Wars and things like that.
Yeah.
And show where she's come from to lead up to Batman v Superman.
It'll be another Batman backstory.
No.
I mean, gosh dang, really? No.
Well, yeah. But so Wonder Woman, it's not coming out till June. It seems like a long way away. We've had two trailers already.
Yeah.
But, you know, it works. And another trailer that hit this morning. Did you watch the Ghost in the Shell trailer?
I did watch the Ghost in the Shell.
I did not.
I know Frank probably did. I already knew that. Yeah, you know, but it's Frank. But, you know, this is a movie that when I first heard they were making a live action version of it, I'm always skeptical when they're taking something that's anime or anything adapted, and will they do it justice? Because most of the time, unfortunately, Hollywood doesn't do it justice.
They've got one. Mortal Kombat, the first one was...
Mortal Kombat was decent.
Was decent.
Compared to everything else that's been out.
Yeah.
Well, that's a video game movie. That's different than an anime film.
Yeah.
Like, as we know, the Dragon Ball Z movie was a disaster. And now, but from watching the first trailer this morning, it doesn't mean that the movie's going to be great, but they got the look of the film right. As I watched that trailer, it looked like Ghost in the Shell from the anime. Scarlett Johansson looked great in the role. The guy they got to play, I can't remember his name, but he looks awesome.
The white hair?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the great thing about the trailer, is that at least it looks like what I would imagine a Ghost in the Shell film would look like.
Yes.
Well, Wait a minute. Mark said something that I don't even know why he had to say it. Scarlett Johansson looked great in the role. Let's watch all of Scarlett Johansson's shows and find out where she doesn't look good.
Well, right. And, you know, I remember I was looking through some old photos on the computer. Remember when we did Rebel Radio as an internet radio show back in 10 years ago?
Yeah.
We had Scarlett was like our unofficial spokesmodel. Do y'all remember I took photos of her and I had Rebel Radio rules on her t-shirts?
Yeah.
I found some of those photos.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know,
so yeah, we've had a 10-year obsession with Scarlett.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, so you saw the trailer.
I did see the trailer, and it reminded, verbatim. It was verbatim, live action, you know, transposed from the anime onto the screen. Except I didn't see any, you know, nipples on Scarlett Johansson. I am going to miss those.
Maybe they get harder later on in the movie.
Because she was nude.
It's a suit.
If you look
really closely at it, it's a suit.
That's why she can camouflage.
In the film, it was explained that it was a suit, that she's camouflaged. It just appears like a nude suit.
In
the movie, she has a suit on. You can see it in the trailer. It's clearly a suit
but
she's wearing.
But it's not as transparent as...
But the thing comes when you're doing anime. The thing, though, is anime is so different than live action. So it's always harder to transfer anime over to live action, because there's just things you can do in an animated world that you cannot do in live action. Even with the graphics, it still doesn't translate that well.
Well, and I think that's why now is the time for a movie like Ghost in the Shell. 20 years ago when the anime came out, you could not have done this film live action. Even 20 years ago, we had pretty advanced CGI, but not the advancements we have now to do a film like this. And it's not just about CGI. It's also about stunt work.
Yeah,
the advancements we've come in stunt work.
This could have been a very bad movie if it would have happened 8 years ago.
They would have over-CGI'd it, not thought about story or any of that. And the only thing that scares me about it is from director Rupert Sanders. His best-known thing was that Snow White movie from a couple years ago.
Oh, The Huntsman?
I actually liked that one.
The first one. It was, but it's okay.
But
it
I
wasn't
liked it.
Like a gangbuster hit movie.
Well,
so
no,
you
but
hope
I
that,
liked it. So
you hope that he has the ability to pull together a really great, or at least a decent adaptation of the Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Hollywood's taking some hit for their whitewashing. Scarlett Johansson's obviously not Asian. And the problem, my thing with that is, an anime might have been made by an Asian director or an Asian market. But that doesn't, just because the character in the book was Asian doesn't, was that more of a cultural thing? Is that why they made the character Asian? Does that
mean
that,
that's what I'm
that
thinking.
That doesn't mean they had to be Asian. Now,
when
we talk about Doctor Strange a little bit, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But in this story, maybe that, the original writer of the book for Ghost in the Shell, he just did it because he was Asian. Just like here, most characters are made white in comics and things like that.
Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot. It's been a while since I've watched Ghost in the Shell.
Mm-hmm.
But did they go on her backstory of her being Asian?
No,
and
exactly.
Her history, you know, growing up in...
Well, she's a cyborg.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. She doesn't necessarily have to be
and it's
Asian.
Like, you don't think that it would be Asian washing if they're just like, we're just going to make every character Asian. and not give anybody else a chance instead of, you know, I'm pretty sure that everybody, you know, auditioned for this, you know, everyone right. that could.
I mean, come on, we take a lot of, we take a lot of, you know, Hong Kong and Japanese movies and remake them with white actors and nobody gets in an uproar about right. that.
Yeah, but, right. you know, I'm really, after seeing the trailer this morning, I'm really excited for it now. I think Ghost in the Shell might have just jumped into my top five for the year. I mean, you know, obviously episode 8's number one, but I think Ghost in the Shell just jumped into top five easily.
Oh, yeah.
Along with some other films that are coming out. And that's a whole other show we'll do later, our most anticipated films of 2017.
Yeah. Well, way in the future.
So make sure you watch the trailer later, Frank. I haven't put it up on Jedi yet because it just hit this morning.
Well, see, if you would have put it on Jedi, I would have watched it. But
it'll be up there soon. So that's really the two big trailers. You know, it's kind of that slow time of the year. I have to do a retraction, by the way. People are going to listen to the Star Wars show.
Right.
Or was that our last episode we talked about Donald Glover? Was it the Star Wars show? No, it was our last episode.
It was.
So, Donald Glover is not Danny Glover's son.
Really?
Yeah. A guy at work pointed that out to me, so I had to do a retraction.
Wait. He's a totally different Glover?
Yeah, so we have to apologize for that.
What?
So, yeah.
So not all black people look alike or related to each other?
Hey, Frank.
No.
I'm just kidding.
So anyway.
You're just kidding. I'm just like, don't go there.
I'm going with like the stupid
So did you finish Doctor Strange watching it illegally yet?
Yeah, I did. I did okay. finish watching it
illegally. Wait, you downloaded it?
No. I've got a Fire Stick, a Kodi.
Yeah, I want one of those. You told me where you got you were going to tell me where Connor, you get
I watched UFC Let's last night.
Talk about illegal stuff for on the, you know, because,
oh, yeah, this... You know, please take everything here on with a grain of salt.
But so, Doctor Strange, I saw it last weekend, and man, I went into this very spoiler-free. I'm obviously a huge comic book fan, but there are characters I don't know a whole lot about, and Doctor Strange is one of those. I kind of know who he is, what he does, but I didn't really know a lot about his background. And I think that's why I walked out of the theater enjoying this more than I've enjoyed a lot of Marvel films.
Definitely one of the better films.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Civil War, but as far as Marvel origin films, I might have liked this almost as much as I liked the first Avenger. That's how much I really liked it.
Okay.
I've stood by before over the years. I've told people Iron Man's okay. I think it's overrated. Thor's not that good. It's okay. I really put this up there in top two or three Marvel origin films. I really enjoyed it. I walked out of it feeling fresh and rejuvenated. Rejuvenated is the word I'm looking for in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because, you know, I was kind of I felt things were getting a little stale, and the fact that they've introduced magic into this world and everything, I think it really works. And the way they did it, it made sense that there's this whole other universe out there.
Are we trying to stay spoiler free?
Yeah, it's been out a couple weeks. We can spoil.
Okay. Yeah, I think that the beginning, like the very beginning, you know, he's a doctor. As you know, was a little. I mean, it could have gone a little smoother, but from the moment that she touches his head, and separates his body and soul, he takes on the Eastern medicine. You know, Western medicine fails him, and he takes on Eastern medicine, and the ancient one. She, you know, touches his head, and boom, you know, from then on, it's great. I just wish, you know, maybe his training. You know, we had a little bit more of that, kind of like Batman Begins. I feel like it just kind of rushed a little bit for me. I feel like with Batman Begins, there was more of a buildup, and you had a little bit more of a buildup, this gradual buildup.
Yeah, but with the Batman movies, you knew there were going to be consecutive movies after it.
Well, not really. Not when Batman Begins came out, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
That was a reboot. Remember, we didn't know how it would be received. I see what you're saying. I've read people that said that they felt it was a little rushed, but I think it works in that way, and that's my problem with Iron Man.
It did work.
My problem with Iron Man is that it's too slow at the beginning. All you want to see is him in the suit, and it takes forever.
Yeah, it did take forever.
And I think that's my thing. I like Doctor Strange. I don't think it needed more. We knew he was an arrogant philanthropist in a different way that Tony Stark was. He was kind of like...
And Benedict pulls it off.
He was egotistical, kind of asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all you need to know about him. And whenever he went to the other side, I think you assume he was so smart that he had no problem picking up the training quickly. And I see what you mean. It felt a little rushed, but I think they were trying to do something a little different than we had in the other origin films.
My cousin and I were talking, and I think if you pay attention to his character, and like you said, Stark and all these other characters, that the reason why I think they all follow Captain America in a sense is because if you look at all the characters, they all started off with some kind of arrogance, and they had to be humbled to get to where they were. Whereas Captain America or Rogers started off humbled and stayed humbled.
Yep.
You know, where everybody else is kind of like had a little bit of an ego. Thor, anybody who was a scientist or an engineer all thought their crap didn't stink. And then they were kind of put in their place, you know, and Doctor Strange was kind of like the same thing. But my cousin did point out a kind of a plot flaw, because these are all supposed to take place kind of coherent with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's getting dressed and you see his watches and all his awards, some of his awards say 2016 on them. But in one of the Avengers movies or whatever, when they're talking about all these people that they're this is a special organization that they keep their eye on, all these special interests, they bring up Strange.
Yeah.
So they bring him up before he even becomes Strange. So unless they do a little thing where he goes back in time as Strange.
Well,
before he becomes Doctor Strange.
I don't think that's a plot hole at all. That's just simply a...
Well, mistake I'm talking about. It's a mistake in the movie.
Because Kevin Feige has actually introduced that theory before, saying that he's actually talking about how they all kind of take place somewhat at the same time, but there's small differences, like Doctor Strange could be taking place shortly after Age of Ultron, is what people think. That's where they seem that it takes place. Yeah. So that way it's technically happening at the same time as Winter Soldier, and why there's no mention of Civil War in this. You know, because Civil War kind of goes on after Doctor Strange happens.
Right,
you know?
And if you, spoiler alert, if you wait for the extra scene after the credits.
I didn't get to see it. Please tell me about it, because it cut out.
Well, in this one, you have Thor talking to Strange and asking him for his help to find his father.
Oh, wow.
Which, of course, we find out, you know, we all know who his father, or who's pretending to be his father right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to help actually find his brother and his father, you know, what's going on with those.
I wonder if Benedict is going to be in Ragnarok.
Well, there's been rumors that he may have a small part in it. I don't think he's going to be in full time. But, hold it, you jumped the gun on me there, Frank.
Sorry.
I was like, I think with these, you take them with a grain of salt. That I think seeing watches on the wall, that's silly. Who cares if they say 2016? That's just simply a prop master that didn't think to go and change the clocks to the year the movie might take place in.
Well, it's not the clocks, it's awards.
Or whatever. It's no different than a comic book that you're reading, and 2 years later it comes out, but the storyline started 2 years ago. But obviously, the artist might have accidentally put 2016 in it. So I think that's a very minor... deal with it. I think we still take this universe as it's all going on within similar time frames of each other. I do wonder how this place scene at the end takes place where Thor's talking to him, because we know Thor left after Age of Ultron and went back to Asgard, and we haven't seen him since. And all of a sudden here, he's like, oh, so we have wizards on Earth now. And he keeps refilling his beer for him.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
That was funny.
And so, and then there's another scene at the end where Mordo is turning evil, and people that know the Doctor Strange comics, Mordo is one of his bigger villains.
Yes.
People don't know that. And people asked why they didn't make him a villain in this, and they said, well, they want to show his fall from grace eventually. So that must be a lead into, I think they gave us a big hint that there definitely will be a Doctor Strange 2 sometime in the next few years.
How does he get into that weird chair and get all misshapen? Mordo.
You're thinking of the X-Men villain MODOK.
Oh, I'm thinking of MODOK. Sorry.
There's
a different one.
So, but in the realm, so you didn't feel as high about Doctor Strange as I did. What origin movies do you think were better? I think First Avengers is my favorite Marvel origin film.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat, you know, an all-American story about a guy that, you know, represents everything that you think Captain America should represent. I mean, that was a great depiction. I really like the acting in this movie. Benedict Cumberbatch was the right amount of arrogant and knowledgeable. You really believe that, you know, he wanted to learn everything that he could. That's his character. That's why he was such a great physician, because, you know,
Well, that and having photographic memory helps a lot, too.
Yes.
I wish I had that. That would be awesome.
And, you know, I know that I think that they just wanted to get to his cape a little faster. How he got the levitation cape. I wish there was a little bit more backstory to Le Chef's character. I always call him Le Chef.
Yeah, from James Bond.
Yeah.
And maybe in time we'll get that. I think they gave a decent amount through what the Ancient One told him. And again, look, you know, the Ancient One with the whitewashing, I thought Tilda Swinton did a great job in the role. Mm-hmm. But that was one that in the comics, Ancient One is clearly Asian all those years from when the moment that Stan Lee, or I don't know if Stan Lee created Doctor Strange or not, I can't remember. He probably had some say in it back then. The Ancient One from day one's always been Asian. So that was one part that's a little, okay, maybe why couldn't they cast an Asian actress, you know? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than Perry White being white in the Superman comics all these years than we had Lawrence Fishburne play the role in the
Nick Fury.
DC Universe. Well, that was a little bit different change. That was a change that was made in the comics first, not in the book. So that change, true. You know, it wasn't like a producer saying, hey, let's, you know, put in a racial diverse actor in the world, you know, so that was a little bit different.
And I will say that Marvel, I mean, this is one of the most advanced, complicated storylines that, you know, Marvel's had to deal with other than Asgard.
Right.
And I think they did a really good job explaining it.
That's why I said it mixed into the universe well. And one thing I also really liked about this film is I actually laughed at the humor for once. Some of the Marvel humor becomes stale.
True.
The Spider-Man jokes in Civil War were great, but by the time I got through Age of Ultron, I was sick of Josh Whedon's one-liners. I didn't really laugh through Age of Ultron. It just became the same old, same old. And this Marvel film, I actually laughed at some of the jokes. I thought they were actually legitimately funny for once.
Yeah.
And Benedict, again, credit to his acting ability, he pulls off the one-liners and the jokes so well. And I think that's why I liked it, too. And it was just refreshing. It was a different type of heroes. It was magic. It was something we hadn't seen yet. And
the fight scene at the end.
The fight scene was great. I just really walked out of this film enjoying it a lot more than some of the other Marvel Origin films. And I look forward to more viewings of it.
I'd say it's top five for me as far as Origin films.
As far as the overall Marvel universe, I don't know where I would put. I'd have to really sit down and think about a list. But I think it would make
it's
top 10. You know,
it's up there. Definitely.
It's one of those that, you know, I could go back to the theater and see again.
Oh, yeah. I actually need to because, you know, I saw it.
Well, I wanted to see it in 3D, but my cousin and my aunt was in town and my cousin went with us. And my cousin has this thing about 3D movies. They give them headaches. So we only got to see it in 2D. Yeah.
3D. If a movie can't stand on its own, then what's the point?
Well, that movie kind of would look really played and look good in 3D.
Possibly.
With all the buildings flipping and flopping. And
we spoke about graphics earlier. You know, the graphics were very smooth in this movie.
Yeah.
You couldn't. You know, there wasn't like overabundance of CGI to where you could tell, hey, that thing's like CGI'd as bad as the first Incredible Hulk movie. So, you know.
Real quick before we move on to we didn't even preview it at the end. We're going to talk about our favorite cartoon TV series today. We didn't even talk about it at the beginning. But the scene at the end where he keeps reversing time with Dormo.
Yes.
I thought that was really funny and brilliantly done. And there was a guy in the theater actually shouted, oh, come on. The guy obviously didn't get what was going on. And I thought it was hilarious how he kept reversing time and pissing off this guy who's supposed to be this badass
villain.
This
is a time loop.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool the way that was handled. And it's like you could just sit there and watch Benedict do it over and over again. He's such a good actor.
Oh, yeah.
He might be the best actor.
Like all
actor.
The different ways he kills him.
Other than De Niro playing a bad guy in Winter Soldier, this might be one of the best actors to come into the Marvel Universe.
So, see, that's what I'm wondering, like, because he's a good actor.
I said De Niro.
Yeah.
Wow. Robert Redford. I wholly apologize for that.
Yes, we're gonna apologize for insulting one great actor to another great comparing to another great actor.
Yeah.
But no, because like I got to the movies and like they're advertising the crap out of Hamlet, which is wasn't the can I pronounce the guy's name that did Doctor Strange, you know.
Hamlet 2?
Yeah, or Hamlet or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're doing one of his Broadway things and showing it at the theater when he played Hamlet.
What do they have to do with anything?
I'm just talking about him being a good actor.
Oh, I was just like, wait a minute. Like,
most of the great actors have done some kind of like stage performance.
Oh, yeah. Like that stuff in Mexico?
You're still not a great actor.
Matt. The dog and pony shows.
Yeah.
Matt, sorry, your shows that you do in Mexico don't translate to the screen.
So, any other thoughts on Doctor Strange? I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah.
one news announcement that came as a, not really a surprise this week. Everyone had a feeling it was coming since Comic-Con San Diego, that there had been rumors that Young Justice Season 3 was finally coming. We still don't know if it's going to be on Netflix, but this week they did announce that Young Justice Season 3 is in production. And if you haven't watched Young Justice yet, take the time on Netflix and watch the 24 episodes. It's one of the best cartoons ever done.
It is.
At first, I dismissed it at first, just thinking it was just a spinoff. And you go and rewatch it, and it is so well written. Adult-style plot lines, betrayal, action, intrigue.
A lot of other just DC's heroes.
Yeah, DC
the Guardians
heroes
in it.
It is just a really well-done animated series. And people were upset when it was canceled. Not only was it well done, it was getting 20 to 25 million viewers a week. It was getting Clone Wars-type numbers. Young Justice did really well. But Cartoon Network wanted to move in a different direction, and they canceled it, and people were really upset. And through its Netflix numbers and its Blu-ray sales, we're getting a season three finally. They haven't said what network partner yet. A lot of people think it will be on Netflix, which seems likely.
Since basically the ones that kicked it back into life with
and
being on there.
Hopefully getting a final season. Maybe this will lead to it's getting more animated series like this. I mean, we're getting Voltron and a lot of DreamWorks stuff.
Yes.
But maybe we'll get more DC. Maybe Marvel and DC will look at Netflix as just as a successful way as their live action shows.
Renner wants a Hawkeye series.
Right.
Kind of like how they're doing Arrow and Luke
Cage. But see, and that's one thing I like about something like a thing like Netflix. They'll invest in stuff like this to bring more subscribers to their thing.
These cult followings, they'll do it.
Honestly, the only reason why I keep Netflix is because of all their Netflix exclusives.
Well, I think that's why most people are keeping it now. I mean, how often do you turn on Netflix and say, oh, I'm going to watch a movie I haven't seen? Very rarely. Now, every now and then, there might be a movie I missed in theaters on video. Like, I sat down the other day and watched London Has Fallen. It was terrible, but I just felt like watching
it. Kung Fu Panda 3.
Right,
and I heard that that's a standalone movie. Like, you don't even need to watch
the other two. And with the Disney deal that Netflix made, you know, the new Jungle Book's going to be on Netflix here at the end of November already, because it's one of the, you know, like Zootopia's on there already. It's one of the Disney movie deals. Rumor is that next month's big movie is Civil War is going to be on there.
Oh, wow.
That's been one of the rumors going around as far as this Disney deal that Netflix has with Disney that they signed earlier this year. So we'll see. So I think Netflix is definitely, it's obviously the future. We see it coming. Hulu's starting to do a lot more original content. Amazon. It's getting closer and closer. I'd say within 5 years, a lot of us are going to be unplugging.
Because the cable networks have just gotten ridiculous.
ESPN's teamed up with a couple of companies, so you can start getting your live football, live sports, live baseball, whatever. So it's coming, but that's a whole other thing. So with Young Justice Season 3 being announced, really excited for that. It got us talking, you know, some of our favorite cartoons of all time. Cartoons are just as much as part of our influence for doing what we do with TrustMeOnJaya.com and Rebel Radio and as the movies are in the comics. We grew up watching cartoons. One of my favorite early memory cartoons is, we're going to talk about our three favorite cartoon shows each of all time, but we're going to talk about some other ones. Like, one of my earliest memories is Super Friends. I remember watching Super Friends, and that was my first introduction to Batman, Superman, and all these bad guys. And Matt, you're a little younger, but I know, Frank, you have some Super Friends memories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, the Wonder Twins. And
Frank always wanted to be a Wonder Twin.
No, because they were just like...
One's always lame.
They were just... they were like...
A bear. And then the other one's like...
A bucket of water. Yes. It's like the chick had all the cool stuff, and the boy's like... A bucket of water for the monkey to carry.
Yes.
So I would guess I would have to be the chick. I would turn into all the cool stuff. Mark would be the bucket of water because you're already the monkey.
Oh, man.
Mark's just a lame bucket of water.
So what were some other... I threw out Super Friends as something that influenced me growing up. What about you guys?
Thundercats. Power Rangers. VR Troopers.
I'm going to go with a love-hate... Because I hated it when I was younger, but I grew to like really like it. Scooby-Doo. I hated it because whenever we go to my grandparents, my female cousin was older, so she got to dominate the TV when it came to Saturday morning cartoons, and she wanted to watch Scooby-Doo.
You know,
and it was on the time of my favorite cartoon.
I just think that they should have made an adult version of Scooby-Doo. Like, maybe, you know, that's right, gang. The killer gutted the victim and strangled him with his own intestines. Whoa! That's right, Scooby.
Well,
we're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
I have some, like, things that I, like, on Facebook that I kind of remember, and that's a little bit Scooby-Doo adult approved, if you know what I mean.
Oh, jeez.
Like the two female characters.
Like,
yeah, no, well, you know, whatever. Scooby-Doo.
Jinkies. Don't go there.
Somebody's getting some Scooby treats, Scooby snacks, and it ain't the guys.
It's not the guys?
Yeah.
Another one I really liked was Voltron, of course, which we've had come back with DreamWorks. That was one I grew up watching
Netflix.
A lot.
Yeah.
And it's now on Netflix.
That was really good.
So Super
Have
Friends,
you watched it?
Yeah, not the new one, the old
no,
one.
No, you should watch it. It's actually really good. I expected them to change it, but they actually made it better.
And of course, watching Looney Tunes a lot, that was a big one. You know,
Looney Tunes.
I remember watching a lot of Looney Tunes growing up. That was a cartoon that was influenced.
Sam. It was originally meant for adults.
I like
that, right?
Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah. Yakko, Wacko, and Dot.
And speaking about
Hello,
that,
Nurse.
They're coming out with their pop figures. I think Monday, the 14th, is the release of Pinky and the Brain.
Oh,
and
man.
Then in December is, of course, them three.
You know. Narf.
Yep.
Trough. Which is
what are we
going
to do today?
What are we going to do today? Same thing we do every night, Pinky.
And then I remember in reruns, we've talked about before on the show, I was a big Planet of the Apes fan. Mm-hmm. I remember them replaying like the old Planet of the Apes cartoon. It was on one of the stations. That was a cool one. The old Star Trek animated series, which I think actually ran longer than Star Trek, the TV show did.
I remember all these back when the Cartoon Network, to me, was cool, because they showed all of these.
Yeah, Cartoon Network used to show a lot of those shows back in the day. And when we got in the 90s, we kind of had a resurgence of cartoons. We had all those popular shows like Super Friends, Transformers, He-Man, which we're going to talk about those. We just haven't talked about much because they're going to be in our top three. G.I. Joe, of course. And in the 90s, we had a resurgence with Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League.
Captain Planet.
Was that late? That was more late 80s, early 90s, wasn't it?
And Matt's favorite.
X-Men the Animated Series.
Magic School Bus.
Yeah, that was cool.
X-Men the Animated Series, Spider-Man the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. So those were some big ones that had a resurgence in the 90s. And so we each chose a top three of our favorite cartoons, and I have a couple honorable mentions. Two of the biggest honorable mentions I left off my top three, even though I wanted to put them on there, would be like Frank's. I know it's going to be his top three is G.I. Joe and the Next Man, the animated series.
Yes.
Those are my two honorable mentions. Real quick, couple honorable mentions y'all have before we do our top three.
Oh, Star Wars, Clone Wars. The one that came out in 2003.
Right, the newer one.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Thundercats.
Yes. Man, that's a great. There's so many great cartoons. It's really hard to just pick three. We just decided to do three for some reason.
One obscured one. Mask.
Yeah.
Mask.
Well, you don't remember Mask.
Oh.
Mask had a great action figure line.
Yes, that's right. I loved it.
It was really cool. It was kind of a ripoff of G.I. Joe in a way with like technology into it.
But the
it
figures were like 3-inch figures.
Yeah, they were really small and they would fit in like the little helicopters.
And the cars
and all that.
Popped out and did different things.
Yeah.
There's like a mixture of G.I. Joe and Transformers in a sense.
Huh.
Like the cars would transform into something, maybe not necessarily
was
robots.
Was one land and then air and then sea? Like, one where there was a team of three guys?
And then we had
they had different things.
We had the Transformer ripoffs, the GoBots.
Yes.
GoBots.
GoBots were awesome.
The poor man's Transformers.
They were awesome because of how bad they are.
Yeah.
I came on to during Transformers Beast Wars, and I really like that.
Yes.
I really like Transformers Beast Wars.
There's a station actually on, it's like Discovery Family or some news show station or something, mm-hmm. that's actually been re-airing the old Transformers. Which were on Netflix for a while, then they took them off.
There was another cartoon called Beast Wars or Beastmasters.
Oh, Beastmaster.
They were animals, but they had like human form.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the toy line, and you like put your finger on their chest, and you use the body heat to reveal whether or not they were a good guy or a bad guy and stuff. And you had like all these different animals, but they were in like shapes of human. They had like human bodies, but animal faces and stuff.
You thinking of Animorphs?
Yeah.
Animorphs was a book line. It kind of ran along.
They had like all their different tribes and all that.
That was Animorphs.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you're describing.
It almost sounds like you're describing.
Yeah, it really does. So our top three. What's your third favorite cartoon of all time, Frank or Matt? Either one of y'all want to go.
Matt, go ahead.
X-Men animated series. I think it covered a lot of storylines. You got Cable. You had Mr. Sinister, which is probably my favorite bad guy ever.
It really was a great series, and it came out at the right time because the X-Men's popularity was peaking with the release of X-Men #1 with the Jim Lee art and everything. And I really, that was hard for me to leave out my top three. I came home every day, would have my VCR set because we didn't have DVR back then to record X-Men and to record Batman the Animated Series. And X-Men was so good. I think it's what made me become a bigger Wolverine fan than I ever was before. Mm-hmm. And the only disappointment with that show was the last season because they were running out of money. If you go watch that last season, they used the fourth season was only like 8 or 9 episodes, but there's a lot of reused animation. There's a lot of mistakes in the last season. Mm-hmm. There's one part where Captain America, I think, completely changes colors because he appears in an episode. So that's the only disappointment with X-Men the Animated Series.
Matt, question. When that came out, how old were you?
Oh, man. I was like 7.
Probably about 10.
10?
If you're, what year were you born? 86. Yeah, so you're about, maybe not quite 10. 7 or 8, yeah.
So
my uncle watched it, and so...
Oh, so how old was your uncle?
My uncle is Mark's age, so...
We were in high school.
So I was just trying to figure out who was really watching it because of Rogue and the way she was drawn.
Oh, well, I noticed.
Characters like Apocalypse that people weren't familiar with.
Omega Red.
Yes.
And it still might be one of the best versions of X-Men ever done. I wish Netflix would get it so I can rewatch it.
Yeah.
It's even hard to find it on DVD. They did release it on DVD. I actually have Volume 1, but they were really expensive. They were like $25 a set back then. And nowadays, they could put the whole series out on one Blu-ray set and probably sell it for $30. You know,
I want to say you can buy it on. You can buy.
Oh, you can buy them. They're just
on Vudu.
You might be able to, but it's probably expensive. And
it is.
And that's one show I wish they would remaster for Blu-ray, put it out, because I definitely would. I think I would buy X-Men the Animated Series. But a great pick for your number three. Frank, number three.
Oh, mine is Masters of the Universe. He-Man.
That's also my number three. So we'll stay right there. He-Man's probably before your time, Matt, but back in the day, Skeletor had one of the greatest toy lines ever. The toys were as cool as shit. Skeletor was that evil villain that always had a plan, but He-Man was there to stop him. Great characters like Orko and Man-at-Arms and Ram-Man. And, it was your pick, Frank. Go on. What do you remember about your great memories
about
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
I love the figures. I had a lot of the figures, and they were tough. The one He-Man that was like a grayish blue color or whatever, didn't care too much for that He-Man. I don't remember how I got him. But we tried our best to blow him up with so many damn different fireworks, and he just wouldn't go down.
Could not take out the power of Grayskull.
I mean, we packed his crotch with all kinds of explosives.
I bet you packed his crotch up, right?
Yeah. And his package would just take the explosion,
Shira liked him.
See, somebody here sitting next to me, I was helping them clean out their closet, and they had like sort of a skeleton in their closet. It was a Castle Grayskull.
Yeah,
Lucky Bastard still has the original Castle Grayskull.
I have a lot of my original He-Man figures, too.
I was like, holy hell, is that what I think it is? And he's like, yep. I was like, cool.
In fact, I have to give a shout out. I have the Merman figure, and our friends over at Comical Podcast, Miguel and Justin, who are actually... their show's over.
Yeah.
They're going to move on and do some different things. And Miguel used to like to wear the Merman mask, and it was one of their characters they had on the show. And I found a picture and took it, and I put it on their Twitter, like, I found the Merman you're looking for. So it's kind of funny. Shout out to Justin Miguel, and we'll look for whatever new projects those guys have, because they're really great podcasters.
What about Many Faces? Did you have Many Faces?
Yes. Had him.
And what was the guy with the one eye? And
Cyclops?
Triclops.
Oh, yeah, because it was different eyes.
The guy with a hand thing, with the jaw, trap jaw.
Yeah, trap jaw.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Beast Man, classic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And He-Man was just colorful characters, good adventure stories. And even the remake they did in the 2000s was a pretty good animated adaption.
I don't think I remember any of my friends or our kids that I come across back when that was on not raise their arm up in the air and go, I have the power, you know.
And
I mean, we were all screaming that as kids.
So I know what your number two is, right? It's Transformers.
Of course.
And
it
me
is.
And Frank both have Transformers at number two. Again, something that influenced us big time. I mean, if you weren't a Transformers fan in the 80s, you just weren't cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids that discovered Transformers with these Michael Bay versions don't know what the real Transformers were. And I'm not going to sit here and knock the Michael Bay versions. I take them for what they are. But
they're Michael Bay versions.
The versions that we grew up with, the Generation 1, Optimus Prime, Megatron, their battle for good versus evil, and Optimus trying to save the Earthlings, or Megatron not giving a shit, I'll destroy everybody.
Yeah.
More than meets the eye. right?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I'll always bring it up. I remember the movie came out, you know, nobody took us to go see it, so we didn't get to see it until it came out like on this thing called VHS. But actually, we watched it on a thing called Beta, because my aunt and uncle got a...
That late into the decade, though? Yeah. No way. They still were running Beta.
Yeah, they were running Beta, and the videotape store, right around, Video Radio place right around the corner, had it on there. First, they only had it mostly tapes, but the guy found one copy on Beta. So we didn't get to watch it when it came out of theater, but the new season had already started, and my cousin and I are like, who the hell are these new Transformers? Where are our Transformers? Why is Spike this old, and where's Optimus? Where's this guy and that guy? Who are all these people? So we ran into the movie, and our Transformers started dying, and we started crying. We were little kids. You got to understand that. We were like, no. We were pissed.
Optimus Prime dies, and that, and man, but yeah.
We're like, I don't like Hot Rod. I don't want to miss.
Well, I'll never forget. I know I saw Transformers.
But then we wind up liking Hot Rod.
I was fortunate enough. I saw Transformers, the movie, in theaters because it came out on my birthday in 1986.
So Mark got to cry in the theater.
My dad took me to see it. And yeah, I remember it was heartbreaking when Optimus died. You're like, what the hell? Then the next season, the show starts, and they bring him back and Return of Optimus Prime and all that.
Now, it wasn't at the start. It was like...
Well, not at the start, but in that new season somewhere, I remember, you know. And Transformers is such a great thing. Then they introduced
the music from that movie was the best.
The
in all
Power
movies.
Masters, the Headmasters, the Dinobots. Just again,
yes.
Back then was the 80s in some ways, along with the 60s
when
Stan Lee was creating the Marvel Universe. The 80s was just great for animation because it was becoming so huge. So many great people out there creating stuff, you know, along with He-Man, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, and all that stuff, and really, really cool, you know, at the time. Yeah.
And real quick, what people don't understand, nowadays you got the Cartoon Network, you have the Disney Network, which you don't have to like pay it like a subscription like you do Showtime like you used to back in the old days when you actually had to pay separately for it as a subscription. You didn't have all these different networks that showed anime. So as a kid, you looked forward to Saturdays. Saturday was your day. 4 to 5 hours of cartoons starting from 7 a.m. Central Time, our time, till 11 or noon, depending on which network it was on. I mean, and you didn't have DVR, so you had to choose what you were going to watch and watch it for that half hour. And that's why I had that love-hate relationship with Scooby-Doo, because I hated it back in the day because it came on when G.I. Joe was on. So I hated going over to my grandparents on Friday into Saturday mornings with my cousin being there because I knew she was going to watch Scooby-Doo. I was like, screw Scooby-Doo, I hate Scooby-Doo, because you're making me miss G.I. Joe. You know?
So, you're number two, Matt, since ours was Transformers.
Mine is the Batman animated series. You can't go wrong.
No.
Mark Hamill.
I'll go ahead and, my number one is Batman the animated series, and we'll go ahead and talk about it now. That's fine. Hands down, the best version of Batman ever done.
Yes.
Even better than the Nolan films, as good as they are.
Yep.
Introduced us to so many villains and characters we had never seen animated before. A new style, a dark deco is what they called it. Kevin Conroy is the voice of Batman. Of course, Mark Hamill is the Joker. Enough can't be said about it. We've already talked about next year is the 25th anniversary since the show aired, and we've talked about we're going to do probably a whole episode where we talk about Batman the animated series. And, it's going to require a little research, Frank. You're going to have to probably find your top five favorite episodes. We'll talk about that later, but that's coming next summer because it's such a great show. Everyone's, if you listen to Rebel Radio, you're familiar with it.
It's a good anime series, so I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's your number two, though, so what are your thoughts on it? I'm here sitting here talking.
No, I mean, it came out whenever I was a little younger.
It was around the same time as the X-Men anime series.
It was 92, right?
Yeah.
It came out in 92.
Yeah, so about the same.
So, you know, I was like six, but... You know, my uncle watched it still because, you know, my uncle...
I was going to say thank you to Mark's uncle, Matt's uncle, for the fact that he introduced him to so many cool cartoons.
Yes.
Because he could have just grown up with some of the lame-ass ones that came out.
I could have. Hey, I very well could have. Could have just been like a Power Rangers fan, which there's nothing wrong with Power Rangers. You know, I like Power Rangers.
I wasn't
for what
a Power
was.
Rangers fan, but I'm not going to dog them either.
But you know, like Mark said, you know, with all these other animated series, it left so much room for character development. Mr. Freeze, Man Bat, Bane, Poison Ivy,
Catwoman.
Catwoman. I really like Catwoman in the series.
Sure you did, Matt.
The Man-Bat scenario was awesome because, you know, Man-Bat beat the crud out of Batman, and he had to find a way to beat him. That's another thing that I really liked about it is, you know, in these animated series, it's like, you know, the heroes do get beat. They get beat. You know, it's more realistic. You know, they don't always win the first match. You know, they may get beat two times before he finds it out.
Overcoming and figuring out how to beat the villain.
And it was very reminiscent of Detective Comics.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the artwork, it's tit for tat.
I looked up, X-Men ran 92 to 97, so about the same time as Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, okay.
And then the show also matured as it went. They took Batman the Animated Series, they graduated to where Tim Drake became Robin and Dick Grayson became Nightwing, and they changed the title of it, but it was still the same thing. They called it the New Batman Adventures or something like that, or The Adventures of Batman and Robin. And it brought us the Superman animated series, which we mentioned as honorable mention, which was just as good.
Yep.
At that time, Superman still has that Boy Scout stigma that he even still has today, unfortunately. But Superman animated series was really done too. It led to the Justice League animated series, which led to the Justice League Unlimited animated series, which is one of the... That's hard to not put on the list too. That should be marked. Justice League Unlimited is one of the best two seasons of TV you'll ever watch, right with Young Justice.
Yep.
Which led to Batman Beyond. So we got all these series that branched out of the Batman animated series. So hugely influential for the time it came out. And a great choice of number two. That was my number one. And so we'll stick with Matt, your number one, before we get Frank's number one.
I'd have to say Spider-Man animated series.
The one from the 90s?
From my 90s. It followed the comic books for, you know, all chronologically from episode one. And so, you know, you could watch the comic books unfold in front of you. Every time I got back from school to the daycare went to, you know, they'd take me there and they'd have it on all the time. And so I got to watch it. You know, you had the Wild Man Siri, and you had a bat over there. He was a vampire bat though. You had the Shocker, which, you know, isn't a interesting position to do in the bedroom. He's a villain. you did have the Vulture. Oh, you had Sandman. You had Rhino. And whenever I watched the Spider-Man movies in the 2000s, you know, I became disappointed because I was like, you know, I see Jameson's son come back from space and I'm like, oh, we're going to get Venom in this movie. And it didn't happen. And I was like, that's not how it's supposed to go. I was like, Venom's supposed to come back. I was like, and where's the Rhino? And I was like, you didn't have the Rhino. You got to, you know, and then Venom, Carnage, Doctor Strange was in there. Madam Strange? There was a Madam Strange.
There's a lot I can't remember all the different characters.
And Madam Web. Sorry, Madam Web. No. She's kind of like a... like almost like an ancient one, kind of, you know, very, you know, very knowledgeable, mystical. And then Spider-Man, it goes through the parts where he loses his power and he has to fight him as Peter Parker with just webbing, you know. And they showed Peter Parker the scientist. He had to make his web, which I'm glad in Civil War we got that Spider-Man the scientist, you know, as well. But Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six. Whenever his mutation goes out of control.
Sinister Sticks?
Sinister Six, sorry. And his mutation gets out of control, he becomes this huge, you know, grueling, horrible spider. What Spider-Man would probably really look like if in real life someone merged with a spider. Right. I mean, he turns into that.
I remember that.
And he's trying to tell Mary Jane.
I remember other Daredevil appeared in the show.
Daredevil did appear.
They had Blade. The whole Venom storyline was done just like in the comics. Blade appeared in it.
Yeah, Punisher.
Morbius, the living vampire, yes. Appeared in it.
Yes.
It really was a great show, and I think it got lost behind X-Men and Batman in that era because X-Men was so popular. Batman obviously was extremely popular, and I think Spider-Man kind of took a back seat to those because of their popularity. But it was lost in that, but it's still really good. And another one, like the X-Men, why is it not on Netflix? Why is it not easy to find on DVD or Blu-ray? You know, it's like these great shows that we can't get a hold of, you know?
I actually own seasons 1 through 4 of Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, it was just called Spider-Man, wasn't it, back then?
Yeah.
The animated series,
Animated series. And it had the metal.
The one from the 70s guitar. Was called The Amazing Spider-Man.
I love the opening to that Spider-Man. The... And it's like ready. And I never knew what they were saying because, like, they're using that guitar box where you can make us, you know, words through the guitar. And well, I just heard.
It ran five seasons. So if you have seasons 1 through 4, you almost have all of them.
Yeah.
It ran from 94 to 98. So again, it kind of started shortly after X-Men and Batman started.
Now you just set him on the hunt for season 5.
Yes.
And, but yeah, great show, man. And, you know, I know they're working on another Spider-Man. They have Spider-Man Unlimited on now, which is okay at times.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Unlimited borderlines from being really corny and dorky to being really good. Like, have you ever watched that five-parter where the future Spider-Man with Miles Morales and all that's in it? That was, like, a really good set of storylines they did. I
didn't get to see that.
But then they'll do the next episode, and it's just really bad.
And then Deadpool pops in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, I thought it was funny, you know, with the Deadpool.
And I guess next year with Spider-Man Homecoming, I think we're going to have a new Spider-Man animated series coming out. So, you know, which makes sense. They want to tie things in. So, Frank, you're over there waiting patiently. Your number one favorite cartoon of all time.
G.I. Joe.
I knew it. And again,
I love G.I. Joe. I had so many G.I. Joe figures.
Again, that's right there. If I did a top 5 or 6, G.I. Joe would be borderline too for me.
Yeah, I never believed in a broken or dead G.I. Joe. They had a nice little screw in the back.
Yeah.
It's like rubber bands and rubber bands them back together and stuff.
Yes.
You know, as the toys. But I just love the cartoon. I love the action, the humor in it, certain characters. But my favorite episode is the Viper.
The Viper.
Right. It's the G.I. Joe headquarters. One of the people keeps getting a phone call at the fire station, I think it was, that one of the fire guy for G.I. Joe is like, I am the Viper. I will be there at 3, whatever, what time it was. And they kept getting this phone call, so they figured he had a Viper. It had to be somebody with Cobra.
Yeah.
So, like, all the G.I. Joes are trying to figure out, and they keep getting these numbers from them, and they keep, like, spoiling all these different Cobra plots and stuff throughout the cartoon. So, finally, he's like, fire station, you know, I am the Viper. I will be there. So, they got, like, all the Joes are out there with all their vehicles and stuff. It is... Little Hispanic dude shows up with his bucket and window cleaner. I am the Viper. I come to wipe your windows.
You know? Wow, did that just happen on Rebel Radio?
That's awesome.
Yes. Well, Matt has, you know, said his top favorite three. Mark has said his top favorite three. I've said my top favorite three. And now you know.
Well, I have some thoughts really, on G.I. Joe.
Really, Mark? You know? You didn't say knowing's half the battle? Really? Anytime somebody says, and now you know, you're supposed to say
but
knowing's
half
the battle.
But you were cutting us off, and I didn't get my thoughts on G.I. Joe.
You
knowing's half the battle. So anyway.
Okay, so thank you.
But man, my thing about G.I. Joe is a really great action figure line. So many different characters. Great memorable characters now in popular culture like Roadblock and Duke. Cobra Commander.
Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes. Storm Shadow.
Lady Cobra.
Lady J. Who was Lady J in the movie supposed to be the one chick that's really hot? Was that she supposed to be like that version of Lady J?
I think so.
Yeah, and just great memorable characters.
Don't even get me started on the G.I. Joe movie. That thing was horrible.
Well, the first one. The second one was better.
Because they try to create a love interest with the character A that never existed in G.I. Joe with the female character that did exist.
Well, now you're getting started on the G.I. Joe movie. You said don't get
you
started.
She was Duke's love interest in the G.I. Joe cartoon.
The second movie was better. But anyway, so, you know, G.I. Joe, a great choice. Stop ringing those things, man. You're messing with shit on the desk, Biscuit.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Toy line.
And, toy lines, very popular today and still. Resonates. Today's kids still play with G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe's still around. It's had several reinventions on television. You know, there's a G.I. Joe Renegades a few years ago, which actually wasn't that bad. It had some moments in it.
But what I love is it all extends from a 12-inch figure called G.I. Joe.
Of Army characters back in the 60s and 70s.
And boys don't play with dolls.
You know, great choice. Man, all of us had really great choice for our favorite cartoons. And who knows what our generation is. Like, we talked Clone Wars was honorable mention. Today, I really love Star Wars Rebels. We talked about it on the show before. Rebels,
yes.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah, that's probably the one cartoon. The new version of Ninja Turtles. We didn't even mention. We just went through a whole episode and didn't even talk about Ninja Turtles. But for me,
animated.
Oh, I had a lot of those toys, too, because of the series.
For me, Ninja Turtles was a little bit later. It was late 80s, so I think I was getting away from that point. You know, I was getting in junior high and early high school. I don't think I was watching as much. I remember the Turtles, mm-hmm. but I don't think I was buying their toys yet. You know, I was buying their toys.
I love toys.
Yeah. Come here. And the new Ninja Turtles is on Nickelodeon now is really good. It's actually really well done. People shouldn't dismiss it as being a Ninja Turtles, just a reboot. It's really well done. And so that's a great one is, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Without them, we don't have the turtle stuff we have today. Mm-mm. So great cartoons. And let us know your choices. We put up this episode in the comment section on the Facebook or whatever, or on Podbean. Let us know what your favorite cartoons of all time. We like to hear from our listeners every now and then.
Absolutely.
So, I think we covered a lot today.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to conclude it other than some great lists there in our favorite cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Again, go to TrustMeOnJedi.com for all your needs. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Look for the Patreon page coming soon if you want to donate a few bucks to us. And we're coming up with some ideas for rewards we have to put on there. Leave us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher. If you're an Android user, you can listen to us on Stitcher. Plenty of ways to listen to us. And look for Remnants of the Rebellion, the new Star Wars show this week from Matt and I. And thanks for listening. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is Mark. And now you know.
And knowing half the battle.
This is Clifton Collins Jr., and you're listening to Rebel Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?